Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We begin a three-part study on a question that is so frequently asked. Why do people not see the Bible alike? Friend, the question is so important that it cannot be pushed aside, nor should there be an attempt to answer it with just an impromptu answer. It is the kind of question that cannot be easily answered in just a passing conversation, because it demands more investigation than that, which is the short answer cannot provide. It involves some very complex matters, and it cannot be buried beneath wishful thinking that the question is not real and a genuine religious problem. Therefore, it deserves our consideration with seriousness. The religious conditions in our world demand a thoughtful answer. There are mountains of trouble and misunderstanding, even strife, because of religious differences. Even among those who profess to believe the Bible is the Word of God, there is division. The very question provokes the reminder of church differences, denominationalism, and disunity. And people spend effort trying to place the blame for the chaotic conditions. We do better to try to restore unity and find out the real reasons for these things. It could be that too many of us are simply not willing to get at the real problem and deal with the cause and the source of the problem. Some have made attempts to achieve unity by forming church confederations where religious people join together to simply agree to disagree. My beloved, that certainly is not the unity for which our Lord prayed in John the 17th chapter. Some have even decided that division is a wholesome trait and we ought to accept it as such. But this is so foreign to the apostolic teaching to speak the same things, to be of the same mind, let there be no divisions among you. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 and Philippians 1 and verse 27. And when Jesus prayed for unity among those who said they believed in him, he warned that division would provoke atheism. He prayed that they all may be one, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. John 17 and verse 21. Division produces the opposite effect on unity. If unity would cause people to believe that God sent him, then division would cause people to deny it. And division has caused sincere seekers of truth to become hopelessly confused and often give up in despair of ever knowing right from wrong. And while division is the cause of much religious trouble, it is also the symptom of other problems. And one symptom is the explanation that people are not seeing the Bible alike. Now, to be sure, some are not even looking at it. But many who are trying to see are differing with each other. Why is that? Many people no longer care what the Bible teaches because they see such disparity between religious teaching and religious practice. So many who claim to be followers of Christ are living lives that are careless and sinful and indifferent. It is not fair to blame Christ of the Bible for those who say one thing and do another. But this is a reality that is causing many to no longer even look at the Bible. The social and moral disintegration of our societies is another symptom of not seeing the Bible alike. Crime and delinquency, both of the young and the old, is running rampant and increasing, it seems, with each passing year. The sacrifice of moral purity, blemishes on the honor of motherhood, defying the sanctity of marriage and the home, a misnamed freedom to indulge oneself in whatever lustful action one sees fit, all of this is evident and stems in part from the failure to see the Bible alike. Someone has said, "If the nation is spared destruction, it will be because of religious people." Well, we would insist that's too broad. Religious people are sometimes contributing to the problems as much as providing the cure. True, the salvation of the nation may rest with religious people, but certainly not with all religious people. There is too much division among religious people for them to have the impact on society of which they are capable. division between churches, division within churches, disparity between doctrine and practice, the relaxation even among the religious of moral values, all are symptoms of a dreaded problem. All these things cause people to feel frustrated. It is because people do not see the Bible alike. And we are asking why this is the case. When we find the answer to that, friend, we will have found one gigantic cause of the religious impotency and troubles. Some would say that people cannot see the Bible alike. But this is saying far too much, because millions of people do see it alike. Furthermore, God requires unity. Has God made His requirement impossible by giving us a book that causes the very division that He condemns? It is not God's fault that men are divided. We dare not blame God for something man has caused in defiance of God. God is not the kind of being that demands one thing and then prohibits it from being possible. This kind of reasoning is to indict God with gross hypocrisy and inconsistency. We shall see that this is not near the case. We want now to bring to our mind four basic and fundamental facts. And the first one is, Jesus brought only one teaching. There is one faith, Ephesians 4:4-5. When people learn a single truth and remain with that truth, there can be only unity. Now let me illustrate. George Washington is reported to have been our first president. Now if somebody says that's not true, then obviously somebody is wrong. It may be those who say he was president, or it may be those who say he was not. But one or the other is wrong. Both cannot be right. When people disagree on some biblical teaching, somebody is wrong. There is only one teaching. The Bible is not a take-your-choice kind of book. We may not easily know who is right or wrong, but when there is difference, we can know both cannot be right. To say both can be right is to say that God is deliberately ambiguous and provokes division even as He commands oneness. But some might suggest we interpret the Bible differently. So let us be clear. The Bible must be interpreted. But what does it mean to interpret the Bible? Does interpret mean to assign a meaning, or does it mean to learn the meaning? God has given His Word, and it has a meaning. It is man's duty to learn the meaning God gave, not assign to it some meaning of his own. When you interpret a passage, you get the meaning of it. When I interpret the same passage, I get the meaning of it, and we will see it alike. Now, you may interpret and I misinterpret, or vice versa. We both may misinterpret in different ways, and in either case, we will be divided. But when you interpret, get the meaning, and I interpret, get the meaning, we can and we will see it alike. If man has the right to assign a passage a meaning that God did not place there, then there would be no way for anyone to ever misinterpret the Bible. Everyone could just decide whatever he wanted regarding anything in the Bible. Honest and reasonable people would not allow any other writing to be treated in such manner. Certainly we ought not do the inspired Word of God that way. But secondly, God's Word endures forever. The faith has been once delivered to the saints, Jude 3. Friend, there is no room for this so-called latter-day revelation. The Scriptures will furnish us completely unto every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And a third basic fact, that man's nature is basically the same generation after generation. He loves and he hates. He rejoices and he weeps. He approves and he rejects. He learns and he forgets. He can understand and he can also misunderstand. He has the same basic organic needs, the same drives, the same feelings. Basic human nature has remained constant. Now, we're aware that the evolutionists deny this, but evolution is false. And while this is not the place to show evolution is false, there is accumulating evidence to that end, and nothing has changed about human nature. Our fourth basic fact is the summation of our first three. Since Christ brought one faith, His teaching remains constant, and human nature remains the same. The causes of failure to see the Bible alike are the same now as they have been down through the ages. They are the same as the reasons why people did not see the teaching of Christ and His apostles alike in New Testament times. Some saw it, some did not. Some accepted it, others did not and went their own way. We can find our present-day difficulties relative to understanding the Bible alike reflected in the lives and attitudes of people of that period. By turning to the New Testament, we have a safe approach by which to study the question. The New Testament reveals to us the reasons why people did not accept the teaching of Christ and did not see it alike. Now, Jesus was never explicitly asked why people did not see things alike. Therefore, we shall not find a direct, point-blank answer to our question. We must glean from Scriptures information that relates to this matter and compile it. And let us pray for wisdom as we proceed. And we ask why the Jewish people did not agree with Christ but rejected His teaching. Romans 10 and verse 3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Now, to put it bluntly, the reason they rejected Jesus was because they wanted their own way. Ignorance of what they were rejecting had a large part of it. God's righteousness refers to God's plan for saving man by making man righteous. The Jews had their own system that they were determined to follow. Peter charged the people, "And now, brethren, I know that in ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." Acts 3 and verse 17. Paul said that Christ was crucified because they knew Him not, nor the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath. Acts 13 and verse 27. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8, "For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Friend, the Jews were too quick and too willing to reject what Christ had said because they did not know just what they were doing. They were guilty, nonetheless, but they were ignorant of the way of truth. Saul of Tarsus is a classic example of religious ignorance. Before he was known as the Apostle Paul, he persecuted Christians and was, by his own admission, a blasphemer and injurious, making havoc of the church. And part of his problem was his ignorance of the truth. In a similar fashion, the cause for the Gentiles failing to accept the truth was because of ignorance that is in them. Ephesians 4:17-19. Ignorance was often the cause of problems among the early disciples. One criticized a woman who anointed Jesus with oil, but Jesus commended her good work. The critics were ignorant of the significance of what she did. The mother of James and John asked a special favor for special places for her special sons in the Lord's kingdom, but Jesus showed that she was ignorant of what she was asking. Christian warfare is directed against ignorance of God's will by the preaching and teaching of His truth. One of our greatest enemies is ignorance of what the Scriptures say, let alone what they teach. Ignorance is causing so many today to cast off that of which they know so very little. The charge of ignorance now is not a reflection on a person's intelligence or his ability to know. It does not mean one is mentally incompetent. Paul was a highly educated man before he became a Christian, yet he admitted ignorance of the truth. The Jewish leaders were educated men, but Christ and Peter and Paul and others said they acted in ignorance. Ignorance simply means that a person is woefully lacking in knowledge of biblical teaching. One has simply not read, he's not studied, he does not know the Scriptures, and rather than knowing, one might go about trying to establish his own way instead of the way of God. Now, all those who are ignorant of the Bible can be divided into two general categories. One, those who have studied, and two, those who have not studied. And the second classification contains by far the largest number. The majority of people do not study the Bible. When someone asks the simplest questions about the Bible, so many have no idea whatsoever. And those who have studied can be divided into two groups that still misunderstand. It's those who do understand, who have studied, but among those who have studied and still misunderstand are those who do not understand but realize they do not, and they are teachable. On the other hand, there are those who not only do not understand, they have accepted and concluded and finished in misunderstanding. And this second group is seldom open to being taught. They have latched onto error, thinking it is the truth, and are content to believe that and nothing else. And this leads us to consider another point. What are the causes of misunderstanding? Some say that people cannot understand until God works some kind of special direct operation of the Holy Spirit on the heart. Well, friend, if that be so, it does no good to study until God operates. Furthermore, this makes the misunderstanding by man God's fault, because God has not operated yet. So what we have with that idea is that man is accusing God for the problems. But people misunderstand because they think a thing is true when it is not true. You see, people can be deceived. We're all capable of being deceived. I may be, you may be. We might as well admit the possibility. Deception is a major human weakness. But we're also capable of understanding. And Paul wrote the Ephesians and told them that they could understand what he understood by reading what he wrote in Ephesians 3 and verse 4. Through deception, the problem of sin entered the world, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 14. Satan deceived Eve, leading her to believe the eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was good for her when it was not true. Deception has been a weapon of Satan through the ages. Paul said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in his craftiness, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that it is toward Christ." 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. People are led deeper and deeper into wickedness by deception. But evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. James said in James 1, "Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." There are three fundamental truths revealed in this passage. 1. God is not responsible for man sinning. 2. Man is responsible for his sins. And 3. Man is drawn into sin by being deceived into thinking something is good when it is really evil. He is enticed, he is deceived when he thinks something is true when it is not true. Paul said the Galatians were being bewitched or deceived into believing something as a part of God's gospel, but it was a perverted gospel, and he warned his brethren in Galatians 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived." Well, why do people who are equally intelligent, equally well-educated, equally sincere, equally respected, teach ideas that are diametrically opposite? Even those who claim to be guided directly by the Holy Spirit do this, which is evidence that they're not being guided by the Holy Spirit. It is due to deception. Somebody might say, "Not me." Well, maybe not, but we ought to be aware of that possibility. The answer to our primary question stems from this common weakness of the capacity for deception. When one is ignorant, he is easily deceived. Some are deceived for other reasons. Some are not really motivated to learn the truth. Some have swallowed the doctrine that it does not make any difference what you believe, just so long as you're honest and sincere about it. Therefore, they're not concerned too much about the matter at all. They're deceived into thinking it makes no difference what one believes anyway. So let us summarize our first part of this three-part lesson on why people do not see the Bible alike. They do not see the Bible alike. That's too evident to belabor. The teaching is the same as in the past. Man is basically the same. There is one faith. Therefore, we can learn why people do not see things correctly and why they see them differently when we learn why people saw them differently in New Testament times. We have also learned that much of the problem stems from ignorance and the determination to establish one's own way. But some are ignorant because they have not studied, and they will remain ignorant until they do. But some who have studied are ignorant because they've been deceived into thinking something is true that in reality is not true. They have laid hold on error. And so in part two, we're going to ask, why are so many deceived? Why are people willing to remain deceived? And in this connection, we shall mention one of man's most dangerous religious practices. I hope that you will hear the second part of this series on why do people not see the Bible alike. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.